Blog Talk Radio.
Mafia family, greetings and hotel. You have your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you by saying Habari Gani to my old friend and by saying what's up to my new friends. Ladies and gentlemen, we are embarking upon a remix, as you know. We brought back the reordering of the marriage vow in the form of a remix. That's right. Last week, we discussed the drama in relationships. Now, you know, as African Americans, we have a lot of drama in our relationships. Now, we've closed the door on that, but if there's anyone out there in the chat rooms who would like to chat about that topic, they certainly can go right ahead and do so. However, we're moving on to more harmonious things in relationships. Today, we're going to be talking about the harmonious relationships and how to have harmonious relationships, and what do we do in harmonious relationships, how to keep your good thing good, and what your man expects of you, and then what women expects of the men. We're going to talk about lovemaking. We're going to talk about how to date and how to court. We're going to talk about some sweet-smelling saviors, and we're going to talk about those things to put in a relationship, like making sure that your environment is conducive for a good relationship, going away on trips, taking your man out to special places, and your man taking you out to special places, taking those long sabbaticals that are so needed, where you might even make a salt bath. You might even give your man a back rub or massage. We're going to talk about some unique things that we need in a relationship, and here to help us do that is Arasta Didiaco. He's calling in from the perspective of the Rasta man, and we need that perspective because we know a Rasta man, most women know that the Rasta man knows how to love his woman, and if we have seen the movies that have been out there, some of the movies depict our Rasta man is the man who knows what to do for his women. So we're going to have Bidiaco represent that perspective, and I'll be talking from a perspective of the African-American woman and what it is she's looking for to make a harmonious relationship. And ladies and gentlemen, don't hesitate to go in the chat room, make your statements known, call in also. Our number is 646-478-0270. And we will not be doing a long, lengthy libation, but we will offer a prayer. And I'm going to ask our guests to assist us today as we offer a prayer. And before I will offer up a prayer in the language of the English language and call on the ancestors, we won't pour libations today for the sake of time. We want to get in our topic. Now, let me go out and do a little house cleaning. I'm going to say hello to our guests beforehand, and I'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. So meet me in the air. Hold tight. Hello, caller number 313.
Yes, greetings, my sister.
Hello, Mr. Arasta Bidiaco. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, and how are you, Empress?
I'm doing just fine. Now, Arasa Bidiako, you are from originally from Detroit, Michigan, I presume?
Well, not originally. I was born here in Babylon, but I come from Zion.
Up from Zion, okay. Now, tell us a little bit about your experience in relationships and what type of experience do you have to bring to the discussion today?
Well, you know, the experience that I have is, you know, is what Rasta is all about, and love is the answer. You know, it's, if we don't deal with love, we have nothing else. You know, here in this part of the world, it seems like love is just, as they say, going out through the window. There's no love. And everything is based on finance, you know, relationships based on finance, family based on finance. But one thing that we've always been taught is that love for your brother, love for your sister, you know, help your brother when you can, help your sister when you can. So you have to take that same relationship, that same method into your relationship. You know, you love the queen, you know, you love first, and all else will be added. As they say, seek him first and all else will be added. So,
well, Arasa, we will be right back at you in the atmosphere. I want you to hold that point. Good point. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it from the Rasta man. We must take our relationship from the perspective of love. We're going to do a little house cleaning right now, Arasa, and we'll be back at you in the atmosphere. So hold tight, and we'll be back to talk about our dedication to our ancestors. And let me see. I'm going to ask Arasa. Arasa, will you also do us the honor of offering up a Arasa prayer for us when I come back from the break?
Yes, I sure will.
Okay, thank you so much. We definitely need that. Prayer is in order for relationships. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me take a short break, and we'll meet you back in the atmosphere. Hold tight.
Toca el acordeón.
All right. And thank you so very much for joining us. And for those of you who are new to the Care to Read Room, we are a consumer and science room. We are featured by Project 2019, underwritten also by Project 2019. And the views of this room are not necessarily an expression of Blog Talk nor Project 2019, but those are the views that we hold here personally, are our own views. So for those of you who will come in to hear something that is derogatory or exclusive from what you believe, we are talking about reordering the marriage vows for the 21st century from the African perspective. And know that we must take things from our perspective. If you'll join me over in the talking cure room, standing up with your head erect and your hands out as if you're about to receive, we will go over and offer a prayer to our ancestors. And I will say a prayer, and I will ask Mr. Bidiako to follow with his African Rasta prayer. As we stand before the throne of grace, we ask the Creator to search our hearts. And if there be any wicked ways there, to cast them aside. Let the mouth and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, O my Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. On thee do I wait, and on thee do I beseech the help. Guide us on the right path, on the path of those who have not gone astray. And we ask that you will grant us this day the opportunity to come into harmonious relationships, to be able to give back what you've given us, that essence of love, and may we be able to express what love really is, as we beget more love, as we pray today that harmonious relationships will come into play and that those who are lacking harmonious relationship can come and find sweet rest in this room. They will come and this will be a haven for them to express the love that they have for their significant others, and they'll be able to carry that on in their relationship. We trust our high priestess and our high Bible laws will be out there working towards bettering the relationship and counseling those who are lacking. We thank you today for what you've done for us in the Most High, and we thank you for allowing us to press that Godhead forward so God will show up in each and every one of us. And we pray our strength today, and we say to God be the glory. Amen. And Rasha, will you do us the honor of offering a prayer, please? Oh, I got him turned off, and I'm asking him to offer a prayer. Sorry about that. Arasta, brother, will you do us the honor of offering us a prayer, please?
All right, Empress. The Lord reigneth. First, let me give thanks and praise to the Most High. In the name of Emperor Haile Selassie I, Jah Arasta Arai. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitations of his throne. A fire goes before him and burneth up his enemies around about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thy Lord art high above all earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of the saints. He delivereth them out of the hands of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Amen.
Ashe, ashe. Oh, that was a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Thank you so very much, Arasta, for that prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say again, you are in the Cure to Read room, and our topic today is talking about harmonious relationships and what is necessary for a harmonious relationship. We're going to be describing it from a perspective of the African-American and not from a Eurocentric perspective. So for those of you who are used to going into the institutions to get your marriage vows, this is completely different. We're looking at our culture and everything deriving from our perspective of an African. The question here today, the only question here today, is to be or not to be African. I choose to be African, so I'll be talking from a perspective of an African, and Arasta Bidiako will be talking from a perspective of Arasta, which is also African, but from a different geographical area, which is beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know that Rasta and African must come together. We must marry ourselves together. We must marry ourselves in the gospel reggae. So today I introduce to you the gospel reggae genre, and this comes from Omi, and I created the gospel reggae. So when we put gospel music and reggae together, we marry ourselves together in a relationship called love. And that's what you're going to hear today, a perspective from Omi, your Omi, talking about a perspective from an African-American woman who is also trying to tie herself into the diaspora, and our brother Arasta Bidiako, who will be talking about what do the Rastas do? How do they keep their love alive? And what is the foundation of relationships for them? So one thing I want to say is our chat room is open. Our phone lines are now open at 646-478-0270. This is a therapeutic class that's much needed. We'll be giving out tools to you. Today we'll be giving out tools to you where you also want to have a mantra. You should take some time away to do meditation, and we've also given you a meditation session. Now I'm going to talk to you about mantras and how it's very necessary to keep harmony in your household and in your relationship and in your bedroom, because those mantras you and your significant other can do together when you do a prayer with your significant others before intercourse. Of course, you do a prayer, because when you go into a relationship, you are actually going into a relationship with God. You are having intercourse with God, and you are climbing higher and higher. For those men who don't know about the energy that you can obtain from having relationship and going in, understanding that you're going to re-energize yourself by not ejaculating. We're going to be talking about that too. So this is exclusive for adults only. Mothers, take the children out of the room. It's not for everyone. This is for adults. And we'll be talking from the perspective of the bedroom, a little pillow talk. It's okay. We're adults. And this is necessary to keep your good thing together and to start out on the right foot. So do I make myself plain and clear to everyone? If you cannot stand to hear anything about sexual arousals and understand that relationship is a part of what God wants you to have, and He inhabits our praises, and our praises must go on before our lovemaking goes on. All right? Now, I'm going to shut up for a minute. I'm going to bring our dear brother back on and ask him to talk about what are relationships like in Rasta communities. How do they keep love alive? And what are the harmonious things that you see the Rasta relationships in the community keep in their life? And what is necessary to have extended families? And talk to us from a perspective of what the Rastas have done and how they can fit back into the African-American lifestyle. And you have the atmosphere, Brother Arasta Bidiako. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Brother Arasta Bidiako from Detroit, Michigan, by way of Zion. He also will be talking to you from a perspective of what brothers need to be looking at and being an African as well, because he is African-American and Rasta. All right, you have the air atmosphere, Brother Arasta.
Yes, greeting again, Empress. Well, just for a sake of foundation, let me explain to some who might not know what Rasta and Rasta is and where it comes from. The word Ras means royalty. Just like in America, you might say president or governor or whatever word you use for titles. So the word Ras means royalty. It's out of the Aramaic language, in which in Ethiopia, the word Ras was attained to the kings and the queens, or the emperor in our case. So the name Ras Tafari means power of the Trinity. Tafari being the title given to the emperor Haile Selassie, the power of the Holy Trinity. So the name Ras given to Emperor Haile Selassie, who was the 226th consecutive monarch to sit on the throne from the time of Solomon, King David, through the bloodline, as we know as the Holy Book.
Now, Brother Rasta, can you tell us a little bit about how the woman fits into that scenario? Does she too sit on the throne as well?
Okay, right along beside the emperor is the empress. It was Empress Menen. So when you check back and you go back through, you will see right along, every time there was a king or an emperor, it has to be a balance with the empress, and they sit side by side. Because we understand as Africans that you can't do anything without the balance. So you have a female and a male balance. So as the emperor comes to the throne, the empress also comes to the throne. And we learned that the one thing that woman can do for man that nobody else can do is that the woman gives a man eternity through the offspring, and the bloodline continues. So this bloodline continues from the time of Solomon and Eva, and even before that, but we just go into recent history, to where it continues down to the day, whereas in 1932, Haile Selassie was crowned emperor of Ethiopia and given the title of King of Kings, Lord of Lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, thus bestowed Ras, emperor, Haile Selassie.
And you know, Brother Rasta, the Africans sing a song about the Lion of Judah. And I like to insert that song for the audience to know that that song is very real to the African American. And it goes something like this. The Lion of Judah, oh, you shall break every chain. The Lion of Judah, oh, he shall break every chain. Why don't you give him the victory? Again and again. I just want to insert that because we are marrying a Rasta to African here today. And that's very important that we should know. A Rasta and African and gospel music should be seen hand in hand. I'm sorry. Go right ahead, Rasta.
I'm actually
we do our music here
song.
In this room
I,
a lot.
I am
I'm
just
sorry. What did you say?
I must ask, where did you learn that song?
Well, I learned it from a Rasta. As a matter of fact, Lauryn Hill actually did it on one of her underground cuts that she did.
Right. Too bad she had to go underground to do that cut. But this is the bond between us, as she was speaking, from the Ross to the African Americans. And if you would turn, anybody has a Bible, they can go to Revelation 5:5 and read that the prophecy was already fulfilled that Haile Selassie would be crowned. And this is the sign of the returning of the Christ when you see the emperor crowned and given the title of King of Kings, Lord of Lords, conquering Lion of the tribe of Judah. And at this coronation, there was 72 nations who come before him and bow before him, saying that we will follow you to the end of the earth. And England's representative, which was the Duke of Gloucester, presented him with a golden scepter, solid gold, 24 inches, and said, we took this from your great-great-great-grandmother, the Queen of Sheba, and we are now returning it to you, and we will follow you to the end of the earth. And as you've probably read, you know that the Ark of the Covenant is housed in Ethiopia, in which Italy and Britain and everybody's been trying to go and steal it for the last 100 years or so. And just to show you how godly of a man this is, when Italy came to invade Ethiopia back in 1921 or 1900, I can't remember the exact date, they were defeated. And Haile Selassie let them go. He did not kill them as they killed thousands and thousands and thousands of Ethiopia. He let them go. So this is a holy, holy thing that's happening to us in this time. Yes, we worship Jesus and we worship the ancients. So where is the God in this time? And there it is right before us. And like I said, it's a shame that Lauryn Hill had to go underground to sing about the Lion of Judah. And we need to bring this out forefront. So this is a wonderful job that you're doing. So back to the subject at hand about love and that's seek him first, and all else shall be added. And as you said earlier, when you're in love, you're loving yourself. You love God. And when you love God, you're loving you because God dwells within. The kingdom of heaven is within. Any scripture tells you that. So as you love God and you love yourself, you love your woman, us all as one. It's the power of the Trinity all over again, you, your woman, and God. So if you don't have that forth, nothing will be fruitful of it. If you have that forth, nothing can deter the love. Nothing can come before you. So love, once again, of God. Love yourself. And then your wife. And your wife.
Arasta, I had a question. Can you take us back now to Jamaica? What was marriage like in Jamaica? And how was the woman serenaded? And what went on during the courtship? What is uniquely about a Rasta that's different from the African-American courtship and relationship? Can you describe that for us?
You talking about in Jamaica?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to bring my Adrian on. Can tell us about love in Jamaica. It was Rastafari. I have a brother here with me. Just you have a beautiful topic here, and this is just strictly off the cuff, so we will speak to you championously about Rastafari. This is Rastafari.
Blessed love.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Blessed love.
Blessing.
The Rasta loving thing and the marriage. Rasta not really dealing with the conventional Eastern or Western relation marriage business because, you know, first two people God put together and just bind them together. See, Adam and Eve. See, they were bind together. It's the first marriage in human relationship. See, but he just bind those two people together. He made Adam first. And you see that Adam was lonely. And then he put Adam to sleep and out of his ribs, he created Eve. Some people have the story wrong, or some people might have a different story, say, created Adam, he created Eve also. Yeah. But out of the man cometh the woman, you know. Yeah. No, 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 no. You don't see the marriage, but you deal with binding together. What God has put together, there's no man to
put asunder.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, beautiful. Now, Rasta, brother, tell me, what was the courtship like? We know in Africa, when we look at traditional courtship, there is a long period of courting, and there is also a series of visitations where the groom would go to the home and talk to the parents, and he would also make a proposition to buy the woman away from the family. Is this same thing done over in Jamaica?
Yeah, that was the tradition back then, but now it's all different. You still do it now, you know, in some cases. You know what I'm saying? You still find that all over the world as black people, not just in Jamaica as Rasta, but all over the world. You know, it's like a chain of command what you follow from birth to end. You know, be your mother and your father, so your days may be longer. So it's just like when you meet a guy or a guy come to you and say, hey, I like you or whatever, you go to your parents and you introduce a guy, and afterward the father or mother can say, yeah or nay. See?
So they were still into getting permission from the parents to wed their daughters.
Definitely.
Yes, because when you marry the family. Like when you go to a family.
So you marry the family. That's what I'm trying to get to. I had been talking several shows ago about we must learn to marry ourselves back to the community. And as we marry ourselves back to the community, we allow the community to be responsible for relationships if they're failing. So as they fall apart, we don't go to the therapist. We don't go outside of the community to get help. We go to the community and share the problems to our community who has abased them. Because they love us, they have a vested interest in us, and they can help us heal our relationships back to compliance. Now let's talk about the bedroom, because I know time is upon us, and I don't want to miss that. Prayer is very much in order for relationships. Most people don't realize that a prayer should take place before intercourse, because what you're having with God is intercourse. And as gross as it might sound, you cannot have intercourse in bed with your spouse or with your significant other until you've had intercourse with God. And that's the prayer and the praising where you go up to the kumalini, so to speak, the highest of highest praise. And once you've reached that prayer, that is the ultimate where you have reached the climax in your prayer, bringing candles to the bedroom, bringing incense, and also looking at taking ritual baths together. Those are very necessary in a relationship to bond you together, so that when you and that significant other go through the prayer, you've now reached the climax. So whatever you do in that bed, it has already been done ahead of time when you do that prayer. It's just extra and added when you go to the bed, because you already performed the act in your mind, and whatever is performed in your mind is considered as done. So I want you to equate your prayer life with your sexual life. You cannot have one without the other. Anyone that says, I pray alone, I do not incorporate my significant other in my prayer, is missing out. It's very vital, women, that you should introduce your significant other to your ancestral altar and go to the altar with your significant other and make vows, make prayers, and also do a mantra. And that's what I want to direct you to today. There are mantras online that you can find that are free. I want you to go out and get a mantra, and you and your significant other or your husband chant that mantra together before sexual intercourse, and chant that mantra together, and that mantra will become one with you, because the whole thing is that you're in duality. You're one. You're not separate, and see yourself as one. Women, you will have to submit to someone, and it might as well be to your man. And man, you must submit to your woman. And not the Eurocentric thinking, well, woman, you got to submit to the man because he's stronger, he's this. See, they're trying to weaken you with the Eurocentric philosophy. And in African philosophies, everything is done in duality. You cannot speak of night without speaking of day. You cannot speak of woman without speaking of man. We do everything in duality. Sexual intercourse can be worked out in the mind, but it's very vital that you have tools in your arsenal. You must have incense. You must have candles. You must have oils. And you must also pamper that man beforehand. You must understand that you must heal him. Your body is a sexual healing for him. You cannot begin to start having sex until you heal the body with your continence. Now, what are your continence? They're your breasts. They're your body. They're your bottom. Whatever you must use to use sexual healing in that relationship. When you get your sexual healing together, then harmonious times will come. You become patient with each other. You'll be able to hear the person's voice and hear the continents and the oceans in the person's voice, and it turns you on all over again. So you're not frustrated because he's telling you something. You'll be able to listen to it and be able to comprehend and respect and do what it is your man wants you to do, because you love the voice that's like an ocean, because you've already accepted him as being your father. And women, you are your man's mother. And you must understand, women, you are God. And your continence become God. And every time you want to take your man to heaven, you take him through the legs, between the legs of your legs, you're taking him to heaven. There's no other heaven outside your legs. And men, you must understand, whenever you want to go to heaven, you must go through the womb of a woman to get there. So I'm going to call on Brother Rasta to give us some insight as to how is lovemaking for the Rasta people, and what do they do that might be a little different from what we do as African Americans?
Well, once again, as you said, man and woman must become one, and the only way you can become one is through God. And as we stated at the beginning of the show, seek him first and all else shall be added. So as it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was without form. So as you said, as you build spiritually, now it starts to form into the physical. And you can't have a physical relationship that's going to last if it's not built on the spiritual, because the physical will change and it will dissipate. And that's the problem with West, is that they deal with sex in a playboy type of manner. And, you know, back room, looking through the magazines, you know, in that type of manner, whereas when you go to the East and you can see women walking around topless and nobody's out of their mind acting crazy, you can see the body is taking just as what it is. This is our temple, you know. It's a holy pond thing. And as you mentioned, the woman now is where heaven is. See, the Europeans have changed it around and said that you die and go to heaven. Well, nobody can point to me where heaven is, neither up or down, because here we are floating in a sphere in the middle of nowhere. So which way is up? And if heaven is up, why are we looking down when we pray? So heaven is the woman's womb, because you come through heaven And this is where it's described as you're in a heavenly bliss. As you're conceived and you're born, you're living in your mother's womb, and nothing has no effect on you. You're protected, and you're living and you're growing. And then you come through heaven, only to be supported by the two pillars of heaven, which is the woman's breast. So when you enter into a woman, you're entering into a sacred place. And even when you read the scriptures, they say Jesus had to come from Mary. Well, it had to be a holy place where Jesus come from. If it was not the case, he would not have to come through woman. God could have just said, happen, here Jesus is. But he had to come through heaven, the holy place, which is described in all of our ancient temples as this is where you come from. You come from heaven. And it's often no wonder why we cry when we come, when we're born and we enter into this place, because it's just the opposite. So the perspective has to be turned around. And we also need to connect the Rasta story with the Africans, because the Africans from Africa don't know the Rasta story as we know it coming out of East Africa. But even though being in Ghana, I noticed the people who would dread their hair, they were destined to be priests. And the ones that would dread their hair would be the one where the mother might have had trouble giving childbirth, and she might have lost a child or so, but the child that made it would automatically be destined as a priest. So as you read in the scriptures, you see all the men and the holy men and the prophets, they were all, as we call, Rasta now. As you read in Numbers chapter 6, as it says, that when one truly separates themselves unto the Lord, he shall let his hair grow, and no razor shall come upon his head. And this separates you from everybody else. So now you're woman, and it says man or woman, when you truly separate yourself unto God, that you should let the locks of your hair grow, and no razor shall come upon your head until the days be fulfilled. These were the elect of God, not only through the Bible, but through every African story that you see. Well, the West has demonized not only the way they call them dreadlocks, which was not the name, because they dread to see you coming, because you're coming with righteousness. And when the light comes, the darkness has to run. So now this translates into a holy union, which now gives off this light, which gives off this light of righteousness. So when you see a man and a woman as a Rasta walking together, you see them in a holy movement. You see them as a glow around them. You know, you have to. If you look at your average woman with the weaves and the makeup and the fingernail polish and their high heels, you know, their diamond rings, and then you look at a Rasta woman with nothing on but a head wrap maybe, if maybe her hair is showing, and her skin is beautiful, her life is beautiful, her walk is beautiful, her talk is beautiful, even so much so as one of the hostesses had to ask the Rasta woman, it's like, You all must be keeping some secret from me or something, you know? I'm sitting here with all of this makeup on and eyelashes and weaves and that, and I look over at you, and there you are glowing just as beautiful as the day. So you all keeping some secret from me. And we say, no, it's no secret. Just live life and love God and be as natural as you can in your living and your loving, and all else will come.
And you know what, Rasta, I think that's beautiful. Live life, love God, and all else will come is a very, very cliche. And ladies and gentlemen, I like to say you've been listening to a Rasta, Bidiako, and also he has brought in an original Rasta man from Jamaica to speak. And what is his name, Brother Rasta, the gentleman that spoke earlier? Can you say his name a little louder?
Ras Panch, P-A-N.
Ras Panch, okay.
Pancho.
We'd like to thank both of them for...
Ras Pancho, yes.
Ras Pancho. We'd like to thank both of them for being on the show today and for giving us their attributes of what can make up a harmonious relationship. We are a therapeutic classroom. We're about the business of healing our nation and bringing back what's authentically ours, and a Rasta is truly ours. For those of you Africans who are not educated on yourself, a Rasta truly belongs to the African. It is a part of Africa, and it never went anywhere. So most of you women who are really, truly looking for good loving in your life, you ought to understand that the Rasta is a part of your life, and it is a part of your life so that you can understand how to find your way back to your original self. And I also want to say for the record, men and women, we do not have to die to go to heaven. We can experience heaven right here on this earth, as has been said in this classroom, through the woman's legs is the way back to heaven. And Dr. Ben coined that word when he said, whenever you want to go to heaven, you just go through the legs of a woman and you can present yourself to heaven. So we must treat our women like heaven. We must treat her like the temple. She is the church. This, as I talked about earlier, make your woman the church. Whenever you want to be sanctified, she can sanctify you. She can baptize you through her legs, through her temple of her breast. She can take you there. She is truly your worshiping temple. And as she teaches you about the shrine and also the rituals, begin to learn from a woman because she is truly God. And most men don't know her to be God, but they will learn her to be God and know that God has been with you all along. When you come up against a prick and you press against the prick and the forcefulness and the drama you have, it will press God forward. But we don't always have to have drama in our life to first have harmonious relationship. It's better to try to get along. If you have opposition, try to forgive one another, get over those oppositions, and love each other unconditionally. And not with that fake thing called agape love. I mean, love them with your whole temple, women. Love them with every ounce that you have in you of lovemaking. Love them to the point that you can forgive them for any inadequacy. Don't hold on to grudges, and don't use those grudges against a man, and don't try to hover over him and bully him with your temple, because some women use their temple to destroy a man. We must use our temple to make our men strong. You heard the gentleman talk about the fact that you become strong through the energy of a woman. The woman's energy is given to the man to make him strong. You use your love to make him strong. Now, we're talking about solutions. We're talking about therapeutic healing. We're talking about, just like Marvin Gaye said, I want some sexual healing. And women, you must understand, a man is just not looking to you to give him sexual healing. He wants to make you into an emperor. He wants you to be a lasting person in his life, not a temporary thing when he needs a fix. And women, don't hold your bodies up to just be a fix for a man. Have long relationship. I'm drawing you with love and kindness. Draw that man with love and kindness. And when you draw him with love and kindness, what it takes to get him will take the same thing to keep him. You worship together. You teach him of the goodness of God and let him know you are God. And don't be afraid to say in the morning, good morning, God, men. Be able to say, good morning, Empress. Good morning, God. And really mean it. Because she's going to give you deliverance and your way back to God. There's no other way back to God except through a woman. A woman will take you back to God because she is God. So it's vital that we should understand our relationships can change overnight. Just like the brother Arasa said, these diamonds and jewels and these long weaves and all this money we're spending to add to our continents, leave it alone. Try to get back to natural, holistic beauty and let the radiance shine in you so our men will see the radiance is not only in our continents but within our spiritual being. Remember what's spiritual is lasting. Things that are natural are temporal. They are not lasting. We want eternity. We were created to be here for eternity. We were created to be a person who never died. Our frequency and vibration will vibrate even unto the grave, and we are eternal. We must believe in reincarnation. We cannot die. We're immortal. We will be brought back, and if we're brought back a third and fourth time, then so be it. But we cannot leave this earth, and our continents, our melanin, is what will vibrate. So why don't you tap into the melanin? Tap into the melanin by worshiping and calling on your ancestors, because they have plenty of melanin to give us back so that we can take that melanin, use our frequencies to heal each other. Sexual relationships should heal your continents, your relationship. It should heal your whole being. And we are sick today. A lot of us are walking around without love in our life. We are sick and we need healing. And women, you have what it takes to heal your man. And don't be saying that I'm not going to give it up. You have to understand, you find the right man that leads you into righteousness, and you give him what it takes to make him holy, and then you too will become righteous and holiness together. And that's what we're all about here in this room, how to bring continents together, how to heal, how to teach, how to show you that we can have harmony as